It's a precious, precious thought to think about the Lord praying on his way to Calvary. I thank the Lord that the cup did not pass from him, aren't you? I'm glad he drank that bitter cup. Because he drank it, I don't have to. And we praise the Lord for that. 1 Timothy chapter 1 again tonight. I'm giving you part 2 to a message I began this morning. If you were not here this morning, I encourage you to go back and get it, especially if you're among those who have lost a loved one this week. As the Lord has guided my attention to these two words and wanted me just to plant firm right here all day long with the way that our church has undergone these deaths and all of this week and these precious, precious people who are now with the Lord. We're dwelling on two words in verse number 1. It's the two words, our hope. Our hope. And I give you part 2 to this message on those two words, our hope. Our Father, help me tonight as we continue with this thought. We thank you that this thought is a reality for your children. And I pray that you encourage our hearts. May your will be done in our lives, I pray. And as we open the Word of God and simply just say what you've said, Holy Spirit of God, would you take your Word and implant it in our hearts deeply and help us to understand what you're saying. And may you comfort those that need to be comforted. In Jesus' name, amen. While we could devote a whole message to any of these statements in verse number 1, I'm going back and repeating some here. The Lord led me to the last two words of verse number 1. It's the words, our hope. And as you look around the world today, everywhere you turn, there's doubt and despair. As one looks around the world, it seems like there's no hope. There's marriages today that seemingly have no hope, or there's lives that seemingly have no hope. But let me say again, loud and clear, that for a child of God, there is hope. For a child of God, there's no hopeless situations, only those who grow hopeless about them. And I remind you here, as we're proceeding through this text, I encourage you to go back and get this morning's message. But I remind you of a couple of things that I said this morning, that the word hope here means to anticipate with pleasure. It means to anticipate with expectation. It means to anticipate with confidence. Hope is basically defined as the Christian's attitude towards the future. Hope believes what God has promised yet to do. He's promised he's going to do it, but it's not yet done. Hope believes God, what he says he's going to do. Hope is trusting God for the future. Hope is expecting that what God said is literally going to take place. Hope anticipates it. Hope believes God for what he will do. Let me stop here and say this. We could stop and shout about 5 minutes for what God has already done. We can stop and shout about 5 minutes for what God's doing now. But glory, we could stop and shout about 30 minutes for what's ahead for the child of God. That is hope. That's the hope that we have. And if you are part of our here, where the Apostle Paul is saying, which is our hope, he's talking about God's children. If you're part of God's children, you have a great hope tonight. And that hope is what we're looking at in this text. I remind you that this hope is not for unbelievers. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, it says that at that time ye were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. In other words, when you were without Christ, you had no hope. Because remember, hope is something that you anticipate with pleasure, something that you anticipate with confidence, something that you anticipate with eagerness. And nobody who's lost has a future like that. Their future is nothing to look forward to. But for a child of God, we have a bright future to look ahead to. Job 11 verse 20 says, But the eyes of the wicked shall fail. They shall not escape. And their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. This hope is for those who have Christ in their heart. And I want us to dwell on this hope again tonight. Proverbs 14:32 says, the righteous hath hope in his death. To the child of God listening right now who may be hurting, there is hope. To the child of God whose marriage may be struggling, there is hope. To the child of God who may be sick, there's hope. To the child of God who lost a saved loved one, there is hope. To a child of God whose life is turned upside down, there is hope. Thank God for the hope of the children of God. We look this morning, first of all, at the description of our hope. Just going to tap this on the head. We saw that this hope of ours, this future that we have, this bright future that God said, here's what it's going to be. Here's where you're going. Here's what you can look forward to. That's a living hope. We looked at that this morning. We looked at it that it's a steadfast and sure hope. It's like an anchor of the soul that just you drop it during storms and it just keeps you, I'm talking about firm and steady. You may be swaying a little bit, but you're not going to sink because of the hope of your soul. It's a gladdening hope. It makes you glad. It's a blessed hope. It's a good hope. And it is a person. That's all this morning. I encourage you to go back and get it. Tonight, I change gears a little bit. As we continue with this thought on our hope, we've noticed the description of our hope, but number two tonight, and here's where I'm going to dwell, we noticed the reaction to our hope, the reaction to it. Would you agree with me that if you're a child of God, the future looks mighty bright? Can I get an amen right there? How do we know that? Because God said so. God said there's a heaven. God said all of these things. And we as God's children have a great hope, knowing that what God said is true. We know in our heart that heaven is real. We know in our heart that Jesus is alive. We know in our heart that there's a street of transparent gold. We know that there's a city that has 12 gates, and each gate is one pearl. We know these things because that's our hope. And God the Holy Spirit breathes it into us and confirms it in our heart. That doesn't mean that there's not times that we don't struggle. There's not times that we don't doubt. Hey, have you ever doubted the things of God? Do you realize that it's rare to meet a child of God who says they've never doubted God at all? They've never doubted eternal life. They've never doubted their salvation. They've never doubted heaven. I can't say that. But I can say this, that even when my flesh is doubting, my spirit is doing jumping jacks inside my heart. And even when I may be struggling a little bit, the Holy Spirit of God says, you know I'm here. You feel my presence. And you know in your heart that what you're preaching is the truth, and you know you're going to see me face to face. I'm glad God doesn't kick us to the side when we're having doubts. Now, maybe you're a better Christian than I am. If you are, I'd like you to sign my Bible after church tonight. But I'm glad that in my flesh I may doubt. My flesh doubts. My spirit never does. Do you understand? And I'm telling you, for a child of God, we have a great hope for what's in the future. Now, because of that, we ought to react in certain ways. It ought to change our lives. Because of our hope, let me give you five things tonight. Number one, reaction. How should a child of God react to the hope that's inside of our heart? Number one, we should rejoice in it. Listen to these verses, Romans 5:2. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. May I say this to you tonight? There's not much going on planet Earth that you can rejoice about. There's not a lot going on in America that you can rejoice about. But I'll tell you one thing you can rejoice about: the hope that's inside of you. I'm talking about the hope that heaven is there, God is there, and you're going to be with him for all eternity. This is the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, had a lot of troubles, a lot of trials, a lot of heartache. And the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in hope of glory. Rejoice in hope. We ought to rejoice in it. Number two, we ought to purify ourselves. The Word of God says this in 1 John 3:3. It says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What does that mean? It means this. It means if you have the hope of God living inside of you, if you have that expectation living inside of you, if the Lord Jesus Christ lives inside your heart, if you have that hope in you, then you ought to purify yourself because of that hope. You know what that means? That means you ought to become more and more like the hope inside of you. By the way, I remind you from this morning, our hope is not something, it's someone. Hope is not a thing, it's a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if hope lives inside you, then you ought to have a desire to be like him. This is what the Word of God is teaching. See, the hope that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives inside of us, who points us toward a great future, sometime out there where God said, here's what it's going to be, here's what you're going to see, here's what you have to look forward to. That hope that lives inside of you in the person of Jesus Christ, it's as if he says, someday you're going to see me just like I am. And you ought to have a desire to be like me now. You know, the separated Christian life is a life that some churches are just casting aside. Some churches are just throwing out the back door. Some churches don't want anything to do with it because they think it offends people. May I say this to you? If a church is out to glorify God, holiness will always be part of that church. Because God is holy. And if we desire God's blessing on our heart and life, then we must be holy. Because God is holy, Jesus lives in me, and he wants to purify me. And the Word of God says that if I have this hope in me, I will purify myself. Let me ask you a question. How much like Jesus are you? How much like Jesus am I? Do I speak like he speaks? Do I look at what he looks at? Do I go where he goes? Do I do what he does? Do I see what he sees? Do I think what he thinks? Am I like Jesus? You know, it's a great thought to think that these dear, precious people who've gone on to the other side, I'm talking about those even this week, Miss Cash, Brother Cole, Miss Lawson, John Green's mother, Scott Foster's grandmother, Tom Cole's niece. You know, I was thinking as we were at the funeral home there for Brother Ted Cole. Family was there, and they were getting ready to come and view the body, and just one final time. Preacher Lassley was sitting right behind me here, and I was standing at the head of the casket, and I leaned over to him, and I basically said, Preacher, can't you just imagine what he must be seeing right now? You know, it's hard for us to even imagine what these dear people of God who knew the Lord, what they must be seeing right now. You know what that's called? Hope. That's it. That's our hope. It's a great thought to realize that someday we're going to have a body just like Jesus. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm 37 years old. There's sometimes I probably feel 77 years old. I'm telling you, my body's not getting better. My body's getting worse. Now, not my face, I hope. Now, don't say amen there. I'm talking, I know what you're thinking. Isn't it an awesome thought that someday we're going to have a body just like Jesus? A body that doesn't get tired. A body that knows no sin. A body that has no limits. No sickness. No death. A glorified body like the Lord. It's a blessed thought to think that we who are saved, there's going to be a day when we see Jesus in all of His glory. See, the only way that we can is if He gives us a body like His. Because right now, in all of His glory, nobody in their flesh could live in the presence of God. He must give us a body like Christ to be able to see Him. The Word of God says this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I don't know what all that means, but it sounds good, doesn't it? That means if your heart is pure, if your heart has been forgiven, if you're a child of God, God said you're going to see Him someday in all of His glory. If you have that hope inside your heart, your reaction to it should be, and my reaction to it should be, that if I'm headed to that place where God dwells and I'm going to see Him in all of His glory, and He lives in me now, then I ought to submit to Him now. I ought to be pure like Him now. I ought to try to live life as close to Him as I possibly can. Let me ask you a question. Are you trying to be like Christ? I'm not asking, are you like Him? I'm asking, are you trying to be? Is there a difference in you and the world? Or when they look at you, or when they look at me, can they see Jesus in us? See, the second reaction is that we ought to purify ourselves. We ought to be Christ-like. Let me give you a third thing. We ought to rejoice in it. We ought to purify ourselves. Number three, we ought to be ready to give an answer. Let me explain this. 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." Do you get it? Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Here's what this means. We should be ready at all times to share our hope with others, even under persecution. Let me ask you a question. Are you sharing your hope with a lost and dying world? Are you telling others why you have hope in the midst of trouble? Do you realize that the world is searching for what we have? Do you understand that? Do you realize that many people that you work with, and several of you are still working and all of this and secular jobs, do you realize at your workplace that many people are searching for the hope that lives in you? They don't even know it. They think they can find it in drugs or alcohol or immorality, or they think they can find it in music or find it in that, or find it in a secure job, or find it in a, I'm talking about the stock market, or find it there, find it here. And they keep coming up against an empty shell. And I mean, the whole time it's like, well, I thought that would work, or I thought that would work, or I thought that would work, or I thought that would work. And God said, we need to be ready always to give an answer to those who want to know about the hope that lives inside of us. Let me ask you a question. Do people see hope in you? Do they see confidence in you for the future? By the way, I know our country's going the wrong direction. I know that we need to take a stand on the issues of the day, and we're going to be doing that, God helping us, and we're going to be explaining this to you in the near future and all these kind of things. I know all of that, but I get weary of all the bad news. I get weary of it, because for the child of God, I know this country's going down and we need to pray for revival, but for the glory of God in the midst of trouble and trial, and I'm talking about just where it looks like everything's coming out from under us, let's not just sink into despair, sink into discouragement, say, woe is me, what are we going to do? I'm telling you, Jesus is still alive, and he's in our heart, and we have great hope for the future for the child of God. We live in great days where the world is searching for hope. What can I find? Where can I get it? We know where it's at. Let us be ready to give the answer to the world. This is part of the reaction to our hope. Tell others about him. Tell the world you have found the answer. I'm telling you, I'm not searching for hope. I already have it. I've got peace. Isn't peace a wonderful thing? This is what the world is searching for. They want peace. They want peace. And it's only found in Jesus. And part of the reaction to this hope that lives in us is we're to be ready to give an answer, to tell the world. Let me give you a fourth thing. What's another reaction to this hope that lives inside of us? Another reaction is we're to be patient. Be patient. What is hope? Expecting something in the future. Looking ahead to the future with excitement and blessing and confidence. Listen to these verses. Romans 8:25. For if we hope for that we see not, in other words, we're hoping for what we don't see, then do we with patience wait for it. That's a powerful verse. Listen to this verse, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. The patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if the Lord of glory, when all these things are spinning out of control on planet Earth, and all these things are trying to grab, snatch away your hope, and snatch away that, and snatch away this, and get you to fear, and all, it's as if the Lord said, there's a good day coming. Just be patient. Hold out a little longer, saints, because the bright day is in the near future. Be patient. Be patient. It's hard to be patient. Amen or not, friends. It's hard. It's hard. One of the hardest things to do is when you say, Lord, I want to take that step. And he says, not time yet. You know what I've noticed about the Lord? He seemingly does not get in a hurry. Have you noticed that about him? But he's never late. He's always on time. Be patient. You say, wait a minute, why has he not come yet? Why has he not come yet? Why has he not come yet? Why is it? Hey, it'd be great with me. Honestly, it'd be just fine with me. During this church service, let's just go on to glory. Amen. I mean, honestly, let the Lord come back right now. Why has he not done that? Let me tell you why. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants us to be patient because that's what he's being. He's being patient. So our reaction is we be patient. Number five, and I'll give you some stories here and we'll be done. Number five, we ought to rejoice in this hope. We ought to purify ourselves because of this hope. We ought to be ready to give an answer to the world because of it. We ought to be patient. Number five, we ought to look for him. Because I remind you again, hope is a person, not a thing. Who is hope? Jesus Christ. So one of our reactions is we ought to look for him. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What this means is that one reaction to our hope is we ought to be expecting him at any time. Let me ask you a question. Are you proving by your life that you're looking for your hope? See, we say Jesus is coming. We say the signs of the times are everywhere. He can come at any moment. But do we really believe it? Are we truly living in expectation of our hope? Do you realize the Bible plainly teaches that no man knows when Jesus is coming back? I don't know, you don't either. And for the life of me, why people believe some of these quacks who say they figured out the time, I don't know. I figured it out. He's coming on March the 7th of next year. You better get everything in line. I can guarantee you he's not going to come on March the 7th. You say, how can you guarantee it? You don't know, but I know this. He said, no man knows. And if a man says, I know, hey, I'm telling you, friends, I can guarantee you he won't come at the time when a man says he's coming. He's coming when his father sends him back. And his father can give him that order at any moment. Do I live expecting him? Don't you see that if we really looked for our hope, which is the reaction that we ought to have, if I really looked for my hope, don't you see it would change our life? Sure it would. Because we would want to be right in the middle of God's will when he splits the eastern sky. We have a great hope if we're saved tonight. That means we have a great future ahead of us. And we know that because God said so. And our hope is that we believe what God said. And that hope, we've described it, we've reacted to it, and I simply want to say that David had this hope. Psalm 39, verse 7, here's what David said, my hope is in thee. Paul had that hope. In Acts 24, 15, he said, and have hope toward God. The world is searching for hope. There was a school system in a large city that had a program to help children keep up their schoolwork during their stays in the city hospitals. In other words, if a child was sick and was put in the hospital, then they had a program to help to send somebody in to help them so they didn't fall behind. One day, a teacher who was assigned to the program received a routine call asking her to visit a particular child in the hospital. She took the child's name and room number and talked briefly with the child's regular class teacher and said, we're studying nouns and adverbs in his class now, the regular teacher said, and said, I'd be grateful if you could help him understand them so he doesn't fall too far behind with his nouns and his adverbs. The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that afternoon, but no one had mentioned to her that the boy had been badly burned. He was in tremendous pain. When she walked into the room, she was upset at the sight of the boy because she could tell that he was in tremendous pain and that his body was badly burned. And she stammered as she told him, and I quote, I've been sent by your school to help you with nouns and adverbs. When she left, she felt she hadn't accomplished much. But the next day, a nurse said, what'd you do to that boy? The teacher felt she must have done something wrong and began to apologize. And the nurse said, no, please. Said, you don't know what I mean. Said, we've been worried about that little boy. But ever since yesterday, his whole attitude changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It's as though he decided to live. 2 weeks later, the boy explained that he had completely given up hope until the teacher arrived. He said everything changed when he came to the simple realization, and he put it this way, and here's what he said. Here's what changed it for him, his whole outlook on life. He was badly burnt. He was giving up. He thought there was no hope. And then this teacher of this program said, I've come to help you with nouns and adverbs. And it changed his life. His whole attitude changed. He started fighting. He started having hope. And here's what he said, and I quote, they wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adverbs with a dying boy, would they? What made the difference in that boy's life? One four-letter word. Hope. Hope. There was an experiment done a number of years ago. Researchers performed an experiment to see the effect hope has on those undergoing hardship, and many of you are undergoing hardship. And what they did is they took two sets of laboratory rats, and they were placed in separate tubs of water. The researchers left one set of rats in the water and found that within an hour they had all drowned. Within an hour. But the other rats were periodically lifted out of the water and put back in it. Lifted back out, put back in it. You know how long those rats swam? For 24 hours. You say, why? It wasn't because they were given a rest, but because they suddenly had hope. And we're learning a lesson from a rat tonight. Can you believe that? It's not your pastor now. I'm talking about, you know, those animals somehow hoped that if they could just stay afloat just a little longer, somebody would reach back down and pull them out. May I say something to you? There are many who are like that little boy. They're badly burnt, hanging on for dear life. There are many, I'm not calling you a rat, but many like this rat and these rats. That you feel like you're going to go under. How much longer can you really take this? Your arms are sore. Your legs are weak. All I'm saying to you is, in the midst of all of it, King Jesus whispers peace and says, hold on just a little while longer, child, because your hope is going to make it worth it all. Do you have this hope in your heart? I'm just about done. Romans 15, 13 says, now the God of hope, that's one of his names. He's the God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Psalm 71, 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. I've got that story right there, and right there is my invitation. So just stay with me. This story goes right here that says, whoever tells the story says, I'm not a connoisseur of great art. But from time to time, a painting or picture will really speak a clear, strong message to me, the man who's telling this story. He said, some time ago, I saw a picture of an old, burned-out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney, the charred debris of what had been that family's sole possession. I mean, the whole thing just burnt straight down to the ground. All that remained was the chimney. In front of this destroyed home, all it is a picture that he's seeing. An old grandfather-looking man, dressed only in his underclothes, with a small boy clutching a pair of patched overalls. Can you see them standing there? A grandfather-looking old man in his undergarments, a small boy clutching just a pair of old overalls and the simmering wood behind them, and everything they own gone, the chimney just standing back there is evidence that the child was crying in this picture. But beneath the pictures were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. Underneath the picture, these simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy of life. Here's what it said. Hush, child. God ain't dead. I know ain't a good word, but I'm going to use it anyway. That vivid picture of that burned out mountain shack, that old man, the weeping child, and those words, God ain't dead, keep returning to my mind, this man says. Instead of it being a reminder of the despair of life, it's come to be a reminder of hope. I need reminders that there is hope in this world. And in the midst of all of life's troubles and failures, I need mental pictures to remind me that all is not lost as long as God is alive and is in control of His world. I'm simply announcing to you again tonight as a church that the week that we've had and the week that many of you have had and the troubles and trials of life that make it seem like everything is burnt to the ground and all there is a chimney standing. Our hope is in a God who is still alive and doing well and in control. And it's not going to be like this for very long. Because for the child of God, heaven is a real place. God lives there. And someday God is going to come back to this earth and pick you and me up and take us to be with Him for all eternity. What a hope that we have as God's children. May we rejoice in it, purify ourselves because of it. May we be ready to give the answer to everybody else. May we be patient for it, and may we look for Him every day of our life. This could be the day when your hope becomes your life. Thank God for the hope that we have. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I love you today, and I pray that you'll help us to rejoice in our hope that we have. Challenge our hearts, comfort our hearts. Thank you for the hope that your children have. Rejoice that you are our hope. Help us to be faithful to you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. This hope that we've been preaching on all day today is a person. This person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you, do you have this hope in your heart? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know without a doubt that you're going to heaven? Are you born again? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. And I have this hope in my heart. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise it up big and high? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there one tonight say, Jody, pray for me. I don't have that hope, but I sure want it. I don't have the hope that I can look expectantly into the future and rejoice in my future because of heaven. But I sure would like to have that hope. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Would you be an honest person? Put it up, put it right back down. Have you tonight say, Jody, I have this hope, but I'm going to be honest with you. I need this hope right now. Life has thrown something at me that I need. I need hope that I can latch onto, that can help my heart to heal, that can be steadfast and sure like the anchor that you preached on this morning. This hope is like an anchor of the soul, the Bible says. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I have hope living in me. I have Jesus in me, but I really need Him to take over in this particular area of my life, and I need this hope. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. God bless you. May the Lord help you. We'll ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. We're not going to stand. I'm just going to ask you to begin to sing. And as he sings, if you'd like to come and ask God to help you, as Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do that? Come on now. Come now, please.
Have thine own way.
You can get out of your seat. Come on. Come talk to God. Ask the Lord to give you hope, give you strength.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting.
Just keep singing, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
Yielded and still, have thine own way. Spirit, till all shall see. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me.
Verse one more time, Brother Gary.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy
through softly. I'd like to ask, you can look this way, I'd like to ask the Shelton family to stand. These are precious, precious people. This is Brother Tony and wife Kathy and son Noah. Jordan's already a member by baptism. And I understand he'd been kind of getting on them a little bit and saying, I'm a member and you're not, you know. And they've been coming for a long time now. Been through a lot with us here. Had a good meeting. Brother Tony and his dear wife right before church tonight, they do know the Lord as their Savior, have a clear testimony of salvation. They've been scripturally immersed in a church of like faith, and they believe the Lord is leading them here to, as church members. We are thrilled to have you. God bless you. I tell them, folks like them encourage me. They're here every time the doors open when they can be, and they want to come to join this church by letter from Greenvale Baptist Church here in Gray. And again, I feel very, very comfortable with this family. And we praise the Lord. The Lord's leading them this way. So could I have a motion that we receive them by letter from Greenvale, Brother Marty, Brother Susong second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. I'm going to ask them to stay right there. Hope many of you will come by and greet them and let them know we're glad to have them. That'd be a good thing. As we dismiss tonight, I remind you of the shut-in and nursing home meeting. I'll give you a few minutes before we have that meeting to come by and greet the Shelton family. And then we'll meet over here to my left, your right, over here on the side of the organ. And we appreciate you being here tonight. Hope many of you will stay just to show us that you're interested in this ministry. We appreciate this family coming to join us here tonight. God bless you. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, bless now, I pray. Challenge us with the Word of God. Thank you for the hope that we have beyond this veil of tears. Take full control of our lives. Thank you for the Sheltons coming and joining ranks with us here. Help us to be faithful to them. And may they help us reach a lost and dying world in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. Please come by and shake their hands. If you're staying for the shut-in nursing home ministry, we'll get started in just a few minutes.